Usher. Zarathustra, the Laughing Prophet. Commentaries on Friedrich Nietzsche's Thus Spake Zarathustra. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 2.
Beloved Book 1. Of self-overcoming. That you may understand my teaching about good and evil, I shall relate to you my teaching about life and about the nature of all living creatures. I have followed the living creature. I have followed the greatest and the smallest paths that I might understand its nature. I caught its glance in a hundredfold mirror when its mouth was closed, that its eye might speak to me. And its eye did speak to me. But wherever I found living creatures, there too I heard the language of obedience. All living creatures are obeying creatures. And this is the second thing. He who cannot obey himself will be commanded. That is the nature of living creatures. But this is the third thing I heard, that commanding is more difficult than obeying. And not only because the commander bears the burden of all who obey, and that this burden can easily crush him. In all commanding, there appeared to me to be an experiment and a risk. And the living creature always risks himself when he commands. How has this come about? Thus I asked myself, what persuades the living creature to obey and to command and to practice obedience even in commanding? Listen now to my teaching, you wisest men. Test in earnest whether I have crept into the heart of life itself and down to the roots of its heart. Where I found a living creature, there I found will to power. And even in the will of the servant, I found the will to be master. The will of the weaker persuades it to serve the stronger. Its will wants to be master over those weaker still. This delight alone it is unwilling to forego. And as the lesser surrenders to the greater, that it may have delight and power over the least of all, so the greatest too surrenders, and for the sake of power stakes life. The devotion of the greatest is to encounter risk and danger and play dice for death. And where sacrifice and service and loving glances are, there too is will to be master. There the weaker steals by secret paths into the castle and even into the heart of the more powerful, and steals the power. And life itself told me this secret. Behold, it said, I am that which must overcome itself again and again. To be sure, you call it will to procreate, or impulse towards a goal, towards the higher, more distant, more manifold. But all this is one and one secret. I would rather perish than renounce this one thing. And truly, where there is perishing and the falling of leaves, behold, their life sacrifices itself for the sake of power. That I have to be struggle and becoming and goal and conflict of goals. Ah, he who divines my will surely divines too along what crooked paths it has to go. Whatever I create, and however much I love it, soon I have to oppose it and my love. Thus will my will have it. And you too, enlightened man, are only a path and a footstep of my will. Truly, my will to power walks with the feet of your will to truth. He who shot the doctrine of will to existence at truth certainly did not hit the truth. This will does not exist. For what does not exist cannot will. But that which is in existence, how could it still want to come into existence? Only where life is, there is also will. Not will to life, but, so I teach you, will to power. The living creature values many things higher than life itself. Yet out of this evaluation itself speaks the will to power. Truly, I say to you, unchanging good and evil does not exist. From out of themselves, they must overcome themselves again and again. You exert power with your values and doctrines of good and evil, you assessors of values. And this is your hidden love and the glittering, trembling, and overflowing of your souls. But a mightier power and a new overcoming grow from out of your values. Egg and eggshell break against them. And he who has to be a creator in good and evil truly has first to be a destroyer and break values. Thus, the greatest evil belongs with the greatest good. This, however, is the creative good. Let us speak of this, you wisest men, even if it is a bad thing. To be silent is worse. All suppressed truths become poisonous. And let everything that can break upon our truths break. There is many a house still to build. Thus spake Zarathustra.
One of the great psychologists of this age, Alfred Adler has based his whole doctrine on the will to power. And it was thought that he has discovered something new in human beings. But the people who were aware of Alfred Adler and his psychology of will to power were not aware of the ancient seer Zarathustra. Zarathustra has given all the fundamentals of the psychology of will to power. It is not something new. Alfred Adler has rediscovered it. And he has not even improved upon it. Zarathustra has looked from every aspect in detail and with great insight. His psychology is not only a psychology, because it is not confined to the mind only. It is also a philosophy of life. Its area, its territory is far vaster than Alfred Adler's conception. Alfred Adler looks very childish compared to Zarathustra. The most fundamental thing I would like you to understand first, then we can go in the details of what Zarathustra has to say. The first thing is that life is a constant overcoming. Everything is trying to go beyond itself. Everything is trying to become better, to be more beautiful, to be more powerful, to be more authentic. And this overcoming is not something that becomes complete ever. You reach a goal and suddenly you see that goal is only a stepping stone for a future goal. And the horizon in front of you always remains calling you, challenging you, pulling you towards unknown spaces. This principle of overcoming is the very foundation of evolution. Otherwise, there would have been no evolution at all. Things would have remained static. Things would have been things. Dead, complete, no more growing, no more going higher, no more trying to transcend themselves. Evolution is the religion that Zarathustra teaches. The will of the weaker persuades it to serve the stronger. Its will wants to be master over those weaker still. This delight alone it is unwilling to forego. And as the lesser surrenders to the greater, that it may have delight and power over the least of all, so the greatest too surrenders, and for the sake of power stakes life. Even the people who have greatest power in the world are still hankering for more. Even if they have to stake their life, it is worth. Otherwise, what is the reason of so many wars? Thousands of wars. So many riots, religions clashing with each other, nations fighting with each other, political parties struggling with each other. There must be a tremendous reason, an instinct which is even ready to sacrifice life. Even the greatest stakes his life for more power. The devotion of the greatest is to encounter risk and danger and play dice for death. When Edmund Hillary reached the greatest Himalayan peak, Everest, For almost one century, hundreds of mountaineers have tried to reach and failed. Not only failed, almost 75% of the mountaineers died. They never returned back. Still, new mountaineers went on coming, knowing perfectly well that many, many people have died and there is nothing to be found on the Everest. It is eternal snow. Edmund Hillary when descended from the mountain was addressing his first press conference and a journalist asked, "Why you had taken such a risk?" What is the motive? Edmund Hillary said, "Motive? There is no question of motive. Just the very presence of Everest is a challenge. And I wanted to be the first who has climbed the mountain. You cannot see anything he has gained, but certainly a tremendous will to power, will to be the first, now nobody can take his place. In the whole history, in the vast future, anybody who reaches on the Everest will be second. There is now no way to be first." This is his gain. You cannot see it, it is not visible. But a great power. Just being the first. And where sacrifice and service and loving glances are, there too is will to be master. Even lovers are continuously trying to dominate each other. They may be playing the game of love, but deep down it is the game of will to power. Otherwise, why lovers continuously fight? They fight more than they love. The times of fight are longer than the moments of love. It seems they love only to fight. and for what they are fighting. A domination. There the weaker steals by secret paths into the castle and even into the heart of the more powerful and steals the power. The man fights directly. The woman has her own feminine way of fighting. She fights through more secretive paths and more often. Almost always she is the winner. Because man is so tired of fighting outside, in the world, in the office, with the customers, with the people, with the politics, that he wants at least in the house some peace of mind. And that peace of mind is possible only if he becomes a hand-pegged husband. It is rare, almost impossible, to find a man who is not henpecked. It is simply an absolute necessity. Otherwise he will have no rest. The wife is resting the whole day. She is ready. By the time he comes tattered and battered, he is almost finished. Just a little puss is needed, and he will be flat on the floor. Every husband enters in the house as if he is a thief. Not as a master, as he pretends outside. And life itself told me this. This secret, behold, it said, I am that which must overcome itself again and again. Life is the energy, just like the waves of the ocean, that will come again and again and go on shattering on the beach, on the rock, being followed by other waves. Eternally it has been so. Life is also an invisible energy which goes on and on with only one desire, to overcome itself. It wants to be higher, it wants to be more powerful, it wants to be more successful. Wherever it is, it wants to reach higher from that point. The energy of life's ocean is exactly the same. The waves go on. Don't ask the motive. It is the very nature of the ocean. and it is the very nature of life. To be sure, you call it will to procreate, or impulse towards a goal, towards the higher, more distant, more manifold, but all this is one and one secret. I would rather perish than renounce this one thing, and truly, where there is perishing and the falling of leaves, behold, their life sacrifices itself for the sake of power. That I have to be struggle and becoming and goal and conflict of goals, He who divines me and my will surely divines to along what crooked paths it has to go. Whatever I create and however much I love it, soon I have to oppose it, and my love, thus I will transcend it. Thus will my will have it. Although I create, and whatever I create with love, but I also destroy, because I want to go beyond. And you too, enlightened men, are only a path and a footstep of my will. Truly, my will to power walks with the feet of your will to truth. Zarathustra says that even the will to truth is nothing but will to power. Because by knowing the truth, you will have the greatest power in existence. He reduces every desire and every longing, even the longing of enlightenment, to the will for power. Because the moment you are enlightened, you have immense power over yourself. Absolute power over your consciousness. And Zarathustra cannot be said wrong. He has found a very key word, will to power. He who sought the doctrine of will to existence at truth certainly did not hit the truth. This will does not exist. Will to existence. Does not exist unless will to existence serves the will to power. Otherwise, it has no meaning. You will not like just to vegetate and go on living. You will not like to be a mere survival. For what does not exist cannot will, but what But that which is in existence, how could it still want to come into existence? You are already in existence. So what is the point of will to existence? He is contradicting those philosophers who call themselves existentialists. Although they have come into being in this century only, but fragments of their teaching were available in Zarathustra's time too. There were few here and there thinkers, not of great importance. It never became that important a philosophy as it became in this century. But Zarathustra says, you are already in existence, hence there is no point for the will to existence. Existence certainly is needed, but it is needed only for the will to power. Otherwise, who wants to exist? Only where life is, there is also will. Not will to life, but so I teach you, will to power. The living creature values many things higher than life itself, yet out of this evaluation itself, it speaks the will to power. Truly I say to you, unchanging good and evil does not exist. From out of themselves, they must overcome themselves again and again. You exert power with your values and doctrines of good and evil. You assessors of values, and this is your hidden love and the glittering, trembling, and overflowing of your souls. But a mightier power and a new overcoming grow from out of your values. Egg and egg cell break against them. And he who has to be a creator in good and evil truly has first to be a destroyer and break values. Thus the greatest evil belongs with the greatest good. This, however, is the creative good. Let us speak of this, you wisest men, even if it is a bad thing. To be silent is worse. All suppressed truths become poisonous. He is saying, I may not be understood. There is every possibility I may be misunderstood. But I have to speak it. Because to be silent is worse. All suppressed truths become poisonous. And let everything that can break upon our truths breath. There is many a house still to build. Thus spake Zarathustra. He is saying that on the path of creativity you have to be destructive too. And if you want higher values, you will have to destroy lower values. If you have to create better houses, you will have to destroy the old ones. The real creator is always almost a destroyer. He is saying it because he is destroying old values. And he is creating a new value. The new value is will to power. And for that new value, everything else can be sacrificed, even life. Even all your concepts of good and evil, your morality, your religion, your philosophy, nothing matters. The Superman has only one religion, the religion of the will to power. Okay, man.
Yes, Bhagwan.
We celebrate.